Hey, I'm John Luke. I'm so glad to be on the podcast this week. Can't wait to interview my friend Chris McClarney. We met 2 years ago, and we haven't talked in a long time, so I think we're going to have a really good conversation. Chris McClarney is a worship leader, songwriter. He's part of Jesus Culture. He's done a lot of amazing things. So we're going to talk about all that and who knows what else. Honestly, it could go any direction. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you doing?
Good. So good. So it's
been... I haven't seen you in forever. Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years since we've talked. Something like
that. At least.
Yeah. Yeah. At least. At least.
And that was like the most fun tour ever. I distinctly remember you dressing up like Waldo during Q&A time.
Yeah. So we
and I dressed up like a dinosaur.
There was, yeah, the amount of costumes that we went through in 24 days, like, I don't even know. We didn't even have time to get them. They just kept, like, showing up.
Right.
Waldo costumes. There was a bear at some point.
I just kept telling my wife to order costumes off Amazon. And every weekend when we'd go home for a couple of days, I'd get new costumes.
So funny. So, okay, so we met for the audience here. So we met at Live Original Tour. I guess that was 3 years ago.
Gosh, yeah. And then I did one stint on the next tour. So we got to hang out for like one weekend.
Right, right. Man, such good times. Because that was, and I feel like I learned a lot from you because I hadn't really, you know, been on tour. And yeah. So I felt like you were like my like mentor, friend.
Yeah, your fellow father, seven on tour.
Feller,
father. Seven.
Oh yeah, fellow yeah. Seven. How much, yeah, how many hours we spent talking about the Enneagram?
So many. Well, I think it's because sevens are just innately super proud of being sevens.
Yeah.
So whenever we find another one, we're like, let's talk about how cool we are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that was the whole talk. Because everyone was like, we want to be sevens. We want to be sevens. We're like, no, it's not. We're not saying sevens is the best number. We just don't want to be anything else.
Yeah.
But
all
then
the other numbers are great. I love all the other numbers.
Yeah.
Except for eights, because they're mean.
Yeah.
I don't like eights. They're mean.
Well, we bonded over our avoidance of eights. And
yes.
our love of twos and avoidance of eights.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually love nines too. They're always a good hang.
Yeah. Yeah. There's good audiences.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what you said. Because that's what we found. Like, everyone wants to be a seven until, you know, we just self-destruct.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, because, like, you do so good. And then, once we hit that candy and sugar, sweets, cookies. Oh, we would just destroy some sweets.
Oh, man. Remember, I think we got the largest candy bar you can buy. Didn't we buy the biggest Snickers bar ever at a gas station?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was massive. I mean, we're talking like, it was long.
Like, actually the size of my arm.
Yes.
Like, legitimately like a log of Snicker bar. That we went through in like 2 nights, probably.
Yeah, maybe not even that.
Yeah, maybe not even that. We started to like cut it up, but then it was like the knife, it was too like tough for the knife to cut into pieces. So then we started just like just shoving it into our mouths.
Oh, oh my gosh. So what does it look like for you when you hit that wall? Like, what happens?
So
like, I know what happens to me, but
yeah,
fellow seven to seven.
Well, it like, sevens is like, you have that high energy, and then it just gets like, so it just is like the fun just builds and builds and builds and builds, and then you just like consume, and then you hit that like delirious stage of just like everything's funny and you just have no clue what's going on at that point. And then it's and then all of a sudden it's just black. You just eventually we would just sneak away. And I think that's the move of a 7-2. It's like you go and then you just back out, slip into your bunk, and just call it a day. Because there's no starts or stops. It just
It's just fun. As much fun as you can handle, and then you're like, I need to rest.
Yeah. Okay.
My big thing is when 2020 hit. I had never experienced that kind of like not hanging out with anybody ever thing.
Yeah.
And it like, I actually had a panic attack and I just didn't know what it was. I thought I was dying. I ended up at the hospital.
Yeah.
And it was only because never in my life had I experienced like that kind of like trauma of not being around people.
Yeah.
I just missed it. How did 2020 do for you like that?
It was wild. Like once it started in March, like Mary Kate and I, we were totally quarantined. But once May hit, we still thought we were gonna have camp, and so we brought in our full staff to camp. And so we started like 50 college kids. We did COVID tests like every 2 weeks, and someone in our staff got COVID. So we had to shut down for the month of July. So we were all exposed. So we had to stay at camp. So we spent 5 weeks, Mary Kate and I, 25 college kids, and our 2 7-year-old cooks, just at camp, quarantined just us every day.
Wow.
So
was it fun?
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Oh yeah. Oh well, so we had all the food that we were gonna give the campers, and we had all like the theme nights, party decorations, everything like that. So we had full out themed parties just with us. Amazing. Every night. But then like first week we were like doing that, staying up late, and then like second week it was like started going to bed a little earlier, sleeping in, and then like but still like everyone's excited. Then like third week it was like, all right, like we're starting to get to know each other. And then like by the fifth week it was like a ghost town. Like we would like we all had our little spaces that we were like routine.
Like,
we know each other way too well at this point.
Oh dude. Oh man, that's the worst for guys like us that are cool the whole way through. But when everybody starts fighting at like week two, it's like, oh no.
Yeah. But we got so many things done. Like we filmed podcasts, videos, we fixed things.
Amazing.
Like, any project that we could think of, we just like did it, which was, that
that's
was a lot
awesome.
Of fun. Yeah.
Then this year, are you able to do camp?
Yeah, so we're doing camp right now, full swing. It's awesome.
Dude!
Yeah.
Is that where you're at right now, or are you at camp?
Yeah, I just left 100 5-year-olds to come here and talk to you right now.
Real.
Dude, it's crazy. It's so much fun. So much fun. What, what was that like? Like, because you were really, did you do, like, the really quarantine thing? And, like, what was it like?
Yeah. So, actually my daughter got, COVID like the week it showed up in the US. She was on a trip to New York on a school trip. And so her teacher got sick and then she got sick. But they wouldn't even test people back then. They were, they were like, only bring in old people. We don't have enough tests. And, so they basically made us stay in our house.
Yeah.
And not talk to anybody. People had to drop stuff off at our door. And we did that for 3 weeks or 21 days or something. That was still back when they were like, I don't know how long it lasts. Just stay away.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then we actually did a really good job with church and everything. Mm-hmm. We live real close to church. I'd walk over to church and we'd record services. And but it was just killing me slowly because you couldn't hang out afterwards. It were like,
yeah,
like it, like, I would get to see people for an hour at a time or 2 hours at a time. And I just have too many stories to fill up only 1 or 2 hours. Especially when you're trying to worship and stuff.
How do you fill the rest of your time?
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I get real bad if I get bored. I'll go into, like, just play games on my phone all day or just watch TV. And I could do that, like, indefinitely. Yeah. I feel like it's how I maintain sanity. But everything around me is crumbling. My wife's mad. I seem to not care about anything. And I'm like, I'm just trying to survive, babe. playing stupid games on my phone.
It's like going into hibernation mode. It's like you can't. Oh, yeah. You just have to turn it off until you can turn it back on. That's so funny.
Oh gosh.
There's had to be some new hobbies you picked up.
All right, so my biggest one is I started researching watches, like nice watches.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm too poor to buy nice watches, so I just started buying these Casios.
Yeah.
And I like them. They're like so cheap though. But one sec, I'll show you.
Yeah, bring it.
So I got this G-Shock. It's like a $100 watch. But then I spent another $100 on a fake AP bracelet. So it looks it looks expensive, but it's really just a G-Shock.
That's so funny. Okay, so let's get into our question. Let's get into our question of the podcast. The whole thing centered around, whoa, that's good. What is the best advice you have ever received?
Oh, the best advice. Gosh, that's a hard one. I think, like, ultimately, the one piece of advice that I've stuck with and held on to, and I feel like it's done the most good for me, is somebody said, you really can't take yourself too seriously. If you want to be doing, if you want to be in worship, like, especially what we do is so, I mean, we're leading people into a deeper connection with God. Like, it's not just singing songs. And I had a buddy tell me real early on, because I was getting real nervous and I'd cry after I sang because, oh, I messed up.
Yeah.
And he just kept saying, dude, you can't take yourself too seriously. And I, for some reason, it stuck. I heard it when he said it, and I just started, like, embracing the fact that I mess up. Like, so this past, even this past week, I had the most hysterical flaw on stage. Like, I failed so hard. I was just, like, trying to hit a note that I shouldn't have even tried for.
Yeah.
And I was the first one to post it online. I was like, everybody needs to see how stupid this is. So, yeah, I think that's my biggest advice. It's just don't take yourself too seriously. You don't get angry as much. You don't stress out as much.
Yeah.
You're not crying as much because you're messed up. Or I mean,
that's awesome.
But that's kind of a seventh superpower as well.
Yeah.
Where we can reframe anything. So.
Well, I think it's so good and it's so important, especially in, like, a ministry job when it's really not about us at all. Like, leading worship or, like, anything, any way that we're leading someone to Christ is, it's nothing that we're actually doing. It's only Christ working through us. So there's no reason for us to even get mad or get upset or whatever. It's like, it might be a cop out, but
it just is what it is.
I'm just trusting Jesus. Like, you're just, hey, I'm just here.
But that's real. That's how I feel like I've tried to live my life. It's just, and I think we talked about it on the road, but the whole way I got into music was I was trying to get a record deal and got one. And then I felt like God said, don't take it. So then that started this journey where I got into helping the poor and then accidentally got back into music. Like, our sound guy posted the worship from the church service I was leading at on MySpace. And then Jesus Culture recorded songs that I'd written. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, do you feel like since you heard that advice, like has there been times you felt like you really leaned on it and times you felt like you've been doing really good, like not taking yourself seriously?
Yeah, I really got good at that. I don't even think about it anymore. I just don't ever take myself seriously. And we've hung out.
Yeah.
I take God things seriously. I take people seriously,
Yeah.
but I don't take myself seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like I have a hard time doing that anymore. I did when I was young, though. I mean,
Yeah.
it's not an easy thing to get over,
Yeah.
especially when you're living your Christian life on stage. And it's not like I'm just singing to God at my house by myself, but I do it in front of people. So I'm
Yeah.
always making these tiny adjustments to seem cooler to them. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, I mean, I got to get rid of all that
Yeah.
because that's not helpful to the cause.
Yeah. No, that's so good. Well, I ask you that 'cause I think about, I'm at camp and I've got, college staff and, that's a real struggle for them and thinking like, am I saying the right things to these kids or like am I
Right.
leading them in the right way? And I think that that's something so important. I think that you're speaking into of like, you got to make a lot of mistakes before you
Oh,
get there,
yeah.
and that's totally fine. Like,
Yeah.
ideal,
Well,
honestly.
and the fact that nothing teaches you quicker than a mistake. I am a huge fan of giving people space to make big mistakes. And honestly, I don't like, especially in worship world, there's not a lot of downside unless you're doing something like horribly, morally wrong. Then I just can't see how you leading the wrong song or saying something stupid in between songs would ever really impact the grand scheme of the kingdom. So that being able to make mistakes. And to just own them and be okay with it, and it doesn't define you. You're not going to carry that for the rest of your life. I think that's what I've kind of. And for those that are willing to make mistakes, especially if you're on my end where you're leading worship and the whole thing train wrecks, and you're just like, oh, let's start over. When you do that, the crowd is with you like 1 million percent. In fact, I promise you it helps them worship better because. Now, all of a sudden, they're not thinking about the performance of it. It's like clearly this guy's not putting on a performance because he should have practiced if he was. So I think it takes all of that weird energy out of the room anyway. So in that aspect, I kind of don't mind playing the fool a little bit, like just being goofy on stage, just so that people kind of loosen up. Just really enter into worship.
There's an honesty that comes with that because you're exactly right. It takes people from thinking about like this is a performance to like, oh, that's a real person also trying to worship God the best way he can do it, and
Yeah.
you're and they can better be led in worship in that way. One thing I was thinking about when you were saying that, like you have to make a lot of mistakes and you have to own it because every once in a while, if it works out, it could be really cool. And
Oh, yeah.
what you were saying about like being, as long as you're not making moral mistakes, it's you're taking risks in the best way. And I mean, you look at the Bible and like those guys are taking risks left and right. And when it worked out, it was super cool. And like that high note
Right.
you said he missed
It
the other day, if he would have hit
would have been epic.
it would have been epic.
But
And it
that's like the weird part about people that come to church is, or that lead at church sometimes, is like we love sports. For what reason? It's the not knowing how it's going to work out. It's
yeah.
the unknown of it is why we watch sports. If we knew who was going to win, it'd be stupid.
Yeah.
So in the same way, we love it in a movie. Someone takes a risk. There's no story if people don't risk.
Yeah.
And we're So we love this. Like, this is all we consume as humans is other people's risk. Like, oh, I want to watch that movie where he risks. And I think we need to make that switch from enjoying watching other people risk to just whatever people are doing. Just take the risk. See what happens. Because at the end of the day, I mean, if you work at a bank and you take the risk of, like, making a joke with someone that walks in, it's out of your comfort zone. I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
So I think people need to take more risk, have more fun.
Yeah.
Just see what the day brings and maybe not organize everything to the second.
Especially in Christianity when we have the best safety net around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is in it? What is, like, why? What is even this life when we have Christ?
It's this.
Yeah.
It's all the people in the Bible, it's like in The Hobbit, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire, like over and over. But it's the story of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, and Jesus says there will be trials. It's like this stuff happens, and it's how we navigate it that determines, you know, what happens on the other side of it. And taking risk and just failing every now and then, getting back up. Like, that's the human experience. Mm-hmm. There's nobody else perfect, but we all think we need to be. Yeah. I don't know.
No, you're right. You're right. And God's kind of whole thing is redemption. So,
right.
Like, why do we expect not to be redeemed when we fail? Like, that's kind of the whole thing.
Right.
That's the whole point.
Right, exactly.
And I think another point that we can talk about, too, is allowing other people to fail well and encouraging them in that, you know?
Well, and to like help them when they do fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we like, I almost co-lead with someone every time I lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, they got my back if I mess up and I got their back. And I don't know, we bring in new people. I'm always like, hey, like, just go for it. Let's see what happens. Mess up if you need to. I mean, it genuinely doesn't hurt the church if somebody sings a bad note on Sunday.
That's so funny. I think the balance in that, and you can kind of talk about this too, what's the balance of, you know, not taking yourself too seriously, letting the Spirit lead, but also, you know, trying to do things with excellence?
Oh, for sure. Well, obviously, we're able to do stuff like that because we've practiced for forever. So, we have the safety net of, I am going to play the right chords with my hands because they just do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think about it. So I like, in some ways, the excellence isn't in the moment of taking a risk. Like, the excellent part isn't in when, at the Olympics in a few weeks, when they all line up on the starting line, that's not where the excellence happens.
Yes.
The excellence happens in them running all the time. And so I think if you're committed, if you've committed your time and life to taking energy and thought, learning an instrument well, learning the craft of songwriting or worship leading or carpentry or anything in the world, then on the back end of that, when you're actually doing it, I don't think you need to be thinking about the excellent part as much as you should be thinking about, like, let's make it genuine and real. Yeah. I don't know.
No, that's awesome. That's it's right there. I heard a quote the other day from a pastor. It hit me so hard. It was about praying in the morning and like Bible reading in the morning, because I'm the worst morning person ever.
Oh yeah, me too.
And
me too.
And one thing he said was, discipline is not waking up early, it's going to bed early. And I was like, God, that hit me. That hit me.
Yeah,
like,
no.
How can I? And I think that's the same point. The excellence is not like the waking up. The excellence is the discipline of going to sleep. And that's the same kind of idea. It's like we think of the big moments as, like, this is the moment where Christ shines, but it's really in all of the background.
Yeah.
That Christ works. And
that's a really good, I like that. Can I steal it?
Yeah.
Well, you stole it from another guy.
Yeah.
So I'll steal it from you. It'll be fine.
I want to say that was JP Pakluda who said that.
Don't tell me that, because I'm just stealing it anyway.
Good. Yeah.
I don't want to know who's going to be mad at me.
I have no idea. I really don't. That's the first name that came to my mind. So,
dude, that's actually super cool, though. I love that discipline is going to bed, because it really is.
Yeah.
Dude, I went to New York last week with another worship leader friend. We were writing songs.
Yeah.
And they got us the tiniest hotel room. And it was me and him sharing this tiny, tiny hotel room with two twin size beds side by side, sharing this tiny hotel room. And we stayed up till 4 or 5 a.m. every day talking like little kids at church camp. Like the 5-year-olds you just left, what they're doing, laying in bed, trying to be quiet, just giggling. We did that for 3 nights straight.
Hey, what time?
You would have loved it.
That's ideal. What time did y'all wake up in the morning?
Oh,
in the afternoon?
Like 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish it was afternoon. We had to actually be responsible.
Well, I live at church camp, and so that's me every night. It's like
I need to come visit.
I tell the counselors.
I want to come visit church camp.
Oh, you gotta come. I tell the counselors. Well, I like do this whole thing at the beginning. They're all gonna watch this later and be like, "This is what he does every night." I give them this whole speech about going to bed and like going to sleep and not staying up, and then like I like 11:15 lights out. Like they gotta be in bed there. 11:15, they hit the cabins. We turn up the music in the staff room and just like we did like 15-minute dance party, and then we go into our conversation. I don't think I've been to bed before 1 since May. So
amazing. What time do you have to wake up?
8:15 breakfast is at 8:15, depending on the week.
Yeah.
But 8:15 is when I try to.
But you don't eat breakfast, do you?
No.
No. You just wake up in time to be where you're supposed to go, so people won't be mad at you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's when I choose to wake up. Uh-huh.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, I take a shower, I put my clothes on before I get in bed. So then I'm just from the time my eyes open to the time I'm supposed to be somewhere, I only need like 45 seconds. So,
dude, I am living the same life. We bought a house like a block from church. Uh-huh. Literally, it's right outside my house. And so I wake up at the time sound check's supposed to happen, yes. Brush my teeth, and I make it to church 5 minutes late. Uh-huh. Nobody ever says anything. I'm living my best life.
That's the life. That's the thing about life is like, how can you, there's a lot of things in life you have to sacrifice, but it's setting up your life in a way that you can like enjoy it. Like that you can do that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm going to move 5. I can move in walking distance. That way I can do that.
Yeah. And now, you're probably a lot more responsible now. But as a 7, when you were younger, we like to double book things. We like to completely forget about things or end up in the other side of the world when you were supposed to have lunch with someone.
Yes.
So this living so close to church takes like 90% of that pressure away. Cause when I get the text that says, "Hey man, where are you?" I'm like, "I'm on my way." And then I'm there like a minute later.
And they're like, "Oh, he totally was on his way."
Yeah.
As you're just rolling another day. And for you, it's even easier. You wear the same outfit every day. So it's not like you got to choose
that. I'm wearing the same thing every day. It's so much easier. Life is so much easier.
Uh-huh.
You wear the same clothes every day. Yep. You just make sure you're clean and dressed and out the door.
Yeah. That's my setup at Camp Gioka, because I've got – so my whole day is so scheduled, and like we wear the same clothes every – like, you know, we have like things that – so the campers can identify us. So like I don't have to think about what I do, where I go, what clothes I'm gonna wear. I just wake up and just follow the schedule, and then it just ends. Well, then the schedule runs out at 11:15, and then I just go nuts. Okay, so you just released a new song, Speak to the Mountains. So let's just talk about that process then, too. Like, what led you to write that? How long has it been in the works?
Oh, dude. So at the beginning of 2020, we had a little writing camp just with church people from around the U.S., mostly churches. It wasn't like a cool, hip camp, but there were a lot of cool people there. It just wasn't the typical Nashville, like, cool kids club. Mm-hmm. But we sat down and wrote this song. The whole goal was to, I don't know a nice way to say it. I just wanted a song that was like a big middle finger song to the devil. Yeah. Like, this year sucks.
Yeah.
Just a song that's like, no. And we sat down, I kind of had that vision for where I wanted the song to go. And then we just started talking about how, like, I mean, people are facing these things and they're like, they're stuck in their own like fear or the unknown. And it was just like, let's give people, just remind people that God is bigger and better, mm-hmm. and stronger and greater than your mountains.
Yeah.
And so the way the song is framed up is it's like, I won't be shaken, I won't be moved, because my God is faithful and his promises are true. So I speak to the mountains, it's time to move. So it's like just kind of a big spiritual middle finger,
yes.
Not an actual bad one, but just like, just, hey, devil, my God's bigger than you. Like, my dad's bigger than you type playground stuff.
I think,
and they let me put a choir on it, which makes me happy.
Yes. I think that is perfect. And that is perfect for 2020. And to go back to what we were talking about before, about failing and like being okay with failure. I mean, that song like says it perfectly, of like saying like, okay, this sucks. Like, this is terrible, but our God will redeem us. He is faithful.
Yeah.
Every
He's
time.
He's faithful.
He is faithful. Every time. There's always hope, and because of that hope we can say no big deal, like this is terrible in the moment, and we can like be honest about that, but we know it's going to get better.
It will get better.
Yeah,
hopefully it gets better this year.
It may be
last
a long
year
time
sucked.
Yeah. It may take a long time, but at least it's there. Oh man, that's so good. So like when you say like writing camp, just because I'm very interested in that, like, how does that kind of get started and how do people find out and like, how does that work?
Well, typically, like, this one was put together by Capital, mm-hmm. who is my record label. And they also have like Passion and Hillsong and a lot of the big like main church things. So Jesus Culture, they work with my church. So they were like, hey, would you guys be willing to write with churches everywhere? So a lot of us that live in town, or the Elevation guys came in and we just wrote for church instead of writing for Christian radio or Christian audiences. But like, hey, what's going to work at your church? Let's try and make that song. So that's how that one worked. Capital put it together and people flew in from all over to Nashville, and we just went to people's houses and wrote once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And I think I got I got one song out of that. Sometimes you leave with a few, sometimes you don't get any. I mean, songwriting's not an exact, it's not a sport for science. You're not, it's like all just, maybe it'll work. Who knows?
Yeah. How many songs did you reject?
Oh gosh. I wrote so many songs this past year. In the year before, my goal is always to write like upwards of 50, ideally 100. And then we keep 10 of them.
Yeah.
And it's not that the rest are bad songs. It's just that, back to the excellence thing. If you write every day or twice a week or whatever, then at the end of that time, if you take the best of those, then that's a representation of real excellence. And that's what, I call them orphan songs. I've got lots of songs that no one will ever hear. I call them orphan songs. And we're actually, I just started this new thing where I'm trying to get songwriters to buy into the idea that what we do as worship leaders and worship songwriters needs to be anchored to the poor. So what if we figured out a way to use some of these orphan songs to actually help orphans? So I've been tossing that idea around, and I would not be surprised if in a couple of years, me and a bunch of your favorite worship people put out a song with never released songs that are orphan songs, and it just goes to get kids homes.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool.
That's so cool. That is so cool. And that's, I think that's something in talking about like the excellence and even going back to the best advice of not taking yourself too seriously. Like you're just writing for the enjoyment and just letting God use what it is. And now you've got this potential thing of all these like things that what you would define as like failure of like not, you know, it didn't make the cut. Now going into something that is going to be changing lives in ways you would never have thought of when you created that in the first place.
Yeah.
Music. And that's one thing that I can't relate to at all. I've never been able to like, I don't know anything about music. I can't hear it. I don't know. I'm like, it's my cousin is he was a songwriter for a while, and he would say, I'm like the worst customer. I'm like the person who like only likes pop, like whatever is like on the radio, whatever is like mainstream, like that's what I'm into.
Well, to be fair, that's me too. And that's so weird. Nobody else gets it.
Yeah.
I'm always like to my kids, I'm like, there's a reason why this music is more fun.
Yeah.
It's like, they picked what's the most fun song to put on the radio. And it was that one. So I like that.
Yeah. That's so funny.
What's the one with Dua Lipa and DaBaby, the levitating? I love that song. You want me? I want you, baby. My sugar boo. I'm levitating. Yeah, yeah, no, no.
Oh, that's so
I love it.
It
makes me so happy.
At first I was like,
and I love Ariana Grande. Oh, I think she's awesome.
Totally.
I love all of them.
Yeah. At first, like, I was like, oh well, like I guess I'm not cool enough to like be into all this like indie stuff. Now I'm like, no shame. I'm just into it. Like, bring it.
Yeah.
If it's fun, no, if it's got like a good beat, I'm into it. Lyrics, whatever. Bring it.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
Just make me dance.
That's real.
Man, this has been...
Yay!
This has been an awesome conversation. Thank you so much for being on. I'm so honored to have been the host this week. I'm so glad for Sadie allowing me to do this. So glad we could connect.
I'm so happy we got to reconnect.
Yeah.
This is fun. We should hang out whenever you're in town or...
Oh, totally.
If I'm ever in your town, I'm going to come to your camp someday.
Good. Hey,
I'm going to do it.
Hey, next time Sadie's off of the podcast for a month, we'll get on and we'll have Whoa, That's Good.
Oh.
John Luke Chris part 2.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. I'll help you co-host.
Yes.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah, let's do it.
We won't get anything done.
No.
But we'll love
We're
it.
We're way past time already. And we'll just keep going. They're changing the values of the cameras. And we're just
amazing. All right,
awesome.
Dude.
All right, man. Have a great day.